Yahweh communicated his teaching. Because up until that point, what Yahweh had been communicating over weeks, it would appear at random different things, was longitudes and latitudes. I'm reading about Moffat and these evangelists who evangelized South Africa, the first pioneers, and they're talking about longitude and latitudes, where things are. And as I walk off waiting for my coffee, what's her longitude and latitude? What is it? What's her longitude and latitude? Is this where she met her husband? Is this longitude and latitude she's carrying around her neck? Is this where she first got saved? Is this longitude and latitude where, well, maybe she wandered away from Yahweh and Christ and she turned around? And this is the longitude and latitude of this momentous thing that she's now wearing around her neck. And this was something that was already stirring on my heart anyways. Stirring on somebody else's heart, I guess. We have Christ's heart inside of us. Those are those Philippians 2:13 with these desires and dreams. And then Yahweh was confirming his teaching to me. The longitude and the latitude, buried treasures, what is it? Where is it? What is the purpose of studying the Word? And this is a rhetorical question. But it's up to us to put what's first, what's secondary, what's tertiary, what's fourth, fifth. It's up to us. What is number one in our lives? And each day, you have to reevaluate. Do a mission statement. How much time did you spend? How much time did you devote in the Word? How much time did you speak in tongues? How many people did you lead to the Word? Did you do these things or whatever? And each day, we should be doing those things. That's the purpose of our existence. It's to glorify Him and fulfill it. But is the purpose of our Bible studies to blend in with Protestants? Because to some people, that's exactly what it is. They want to blend in with Protestants. Is the purpose of a Bible study to blend in with Catholics? Because I want... No? For a lot of people, yeah. Tell me what all the Catholics are believing so I can blend in. Is the purpose of studying the Word to blend in with Jehovah's Witnesses or Latter-day Saints? And for most people, the answer to that is yes. They wouldn't say that. The purpose is to blend in with their group. And even with us sometimes, studying the Word might be because I want to bless people. And that could be it. But I think what we can do is say the purpose of studying the Word, number one, is because I want to know you. I want to know you. There's one thing I learned in this life. It's you. And your Son. And the fellowship of your suffering. It's to know the Creator of the universe. If I get one thing figured out today, it's because I want to know you. Well, what's the point of learning things if I can't help people? I think with good intentions, we get all mixed up. Because what's the point of learning if I don't get these people? Is that the primary purpose of our existence? As a single man, I can relate to this. I'd say if I was pursuing a woman and her father-in-law was watching me, which my future father-in-law is watching me, how would I pursue her? Well, I would learn her name. I've had acquaintances who didn't know their girlfriend's birthdays or their middle names or where their parents lived. Do you know what I thought that was? It's not flattering. You don't know anything about this woman. You like what she does for you. But somebody can be pursuing, what is your favorite color? What don't you like? What do you like? What drives you nuts? What's hilarious? What makes you laugh? With one of us, we can say, we got to make Rachel laugh today. How will we do it? We have a good idea how to do it. Or with mom's having a bad day, guy would be perfect. We got to make her laugh. He could be the biggest jerk to you, but if he can make you laugh, he can compensate. That's because he knows you. And with a man who's been married 50 years or 40 years or 60 years, I already know everything about her, right? No. What do you want to do today? What don't you want to do today? Well, we've been going to Olive Garden for 25 years. Why would we change? Because I've changed. I don't want to go there anymore. I want to... And then somebody pursuing that, and that's what marriages are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to become Christ-like. dying to ourselves to wash each other's feet, not for the lateral relationship, but because I made a devotion to you, and you deserve it, and they're driving me nuts, but I want to die on the cross daily for you. And he's going to reward you for that. But any of us can understand that with a regular relationship, but that's the purpose of this every single day. Whether people learn or they follow you, who cares? And we should start that day going, I don't care if anybody wants to know. I'm going to write papers. I'm going to do teachings. I'm going to do studying. And if nobody ever reads it, the purpose is not to convert the world. The purpose is to take my days, my years, my time. And what did you do with it, faithful servant? Well, what was the point? Nobody was reading it. Missed. To pursue me. And then lateral things will come in. And we reconcile the latter things to bring people, to convert people, to witness, to reprove, rebuke, and encourage, right? We're commanded to do that. But that's not the primary purpose of our existence. It comes with it. And when we're pursuing him, and he goes, go rebuke Saul. Not Saul. Can you imagine Samuel's heart? Samuel was raised by Eli. Eli's sons turned to wickedness. And he got to see Eli go down. Eli died because of his son's relationship. Then Samuel has sons. What do?
Same thing.
And Yahweh replaced Eli's sons with a king, Saul. So then he got something better. But then he turned. Now I got to rebuke him. And then what happened with Saul? He turned on Yahweh too. Then what happened? Yahweh gave him something even better than Saul. What did he give him?
A David.
Nothing can be taken that Yahweh in Christ can't replace. If we're so busy looking at the lateral relationship, we're going to miss the purpose of this life, and we're going to have a lot of regret when we meet Christ. What did you do with your time? I got to get these people. I got to fix these things. Don't worry about it. Because if pursuing him means rebuke this person, you're going to lose them. If my primary purpose is this, then that will fit. It'll all reconcile. So this is for us and for the teaching, because the coordinates, the latitude and longitude each day of our buried treasure is this. It's the Hebrew word. You want to know where Yahweh is today? He's waiting for you. Which latitude and longitude? The longitude and the latitude is the book, chapter, and verse. Well, where is he today? You have to be pursuing him like you would pursue a princess or a prince or a baby that you want to have. You want to get pregnant. You want to have a baby or something. Wouldn't a woman just... I can see a woman or a man pursuing a woman or a woman who has this desire to have a baby going, I got to figure out how to have the baby and take care of the baby. That's what we're supposed to be doing with Yahweh. And where is he today? Knock. It shall be open, seeking, you shall find. And it could be something random. It could be, I want you to spend 2 hours reading through scriptures. Whatever it is, he'll tell you what to do. And just like with this teaching, started with a coffee shop, he goes, I resist the proud. Humble yourself. How am I? And then he might tell you, how are you going to humble yourself? I want you to go wash your feet before you go to work or whatever. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Humble yourself like Christ did when he washed Peter's feet. And then as we humble ourselves, he will lift us up. What I wanted to do a teaching on is how many times Yahweh talks about those who abase themselves. Or the haughty, excuse me. You lift yourself up, you're going to get popped. I watched a tombstone once. These evil people went to a wedding and they told this groom to kneel before him, and he wouldn't kneel, so he shot him in his knee. Then he kneeled, and that was evil. Everybody's going to kneel before Yahweh in Christ, daily, monthly, and if we think we might get away with it, he's going to humble us. Or we can humble ourselves. He asks us, please humble yourself so I can lift you up. It's your job, with your heart, to put it on the altar. It's my job to receive it with fire. Would you do it each day? And pursuing him each day, the longitude and the latitudes in his word. The Hebrew and the Greek, not bad translations. Like what Dad pointed out about worship. They're cherry picking worship. Just the Hebrew words means it bow down. It means bow down. If we turn to Ezekiel chapter 16... What's the purpose of these scriptures? Well, if you keep going in there, if you keep going into the Hebrew scriptures, we're going to lose all our friends. Well, is the purpose of your existence to have the most Protestant friends, Catholic friends, Jehovah Witnesses, Latter-day Saints? And for most people, it is. That's why they won't even say the name Yahweh. And I have a problem with that too. Ezekiel chapter 16, 1 through 25. If somebody would read for me.
What page is that?
799.
I'll read for a while. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, let Jerusalem know her abominations. Therefore shalt thou say, Thus saith my Lord Yahweh to Jerusalem, Thy origin and thy birth were of the land of the Canaanites. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy birth in the day thou wast born, thy navel cord was not cut, and in water was thou not bathed to cleanse thee. And as being salted, thou wast not salted. And as for being bandaged, thou wast not bandaged. No eye threw a shield over thee by doing for thee one of these things, taking pity on thee. For thou wast cast out on the face of the field, because thy person was abhorred in the day thou wast born. As I passed by thee and looked upon thee, thrusting about thee in thy blood, and said to thee, Despite thy blood, live. Yea, I say unto thee, despite thy blood, live. Into mirrors like the bud of the field may I be, and thou didst increase and become well grown, and didst attain to more excellent adornments. Thy breasts were well formed, and thy hair was grown, but thou thyself was utterly naked. And I passed by thee and looked upon thee, and lo, thy time was a time for endearment. So I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy shame, and took an oath to thee, and entered into covenant with thee, declares my Lord Yahweh, and thou hast become mine. Well, read 9. Wendy?
Up to 9 to what?
25. 28.
And I bathed thee in water, and rinsed thy blood from off thee, and anointed thee with oil, and clothed thee with an embroidered dress, and sandaled thee in red leather, and wrapped thee about with fine linen, and put over thee a mantle of silk. Then decked I thee with ornaments, and put bracelets upon thy hands, and a neck chain upon thy neck throat, and put a nose jewel upon thy nose, and earrings in thine ears, and a crown of adorning upon thy head. Thus wast thou adorned with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and embroidered work. Fine flour and honey and oil didst thou eat, and so thou becamest exceedingly beautiful, and didst attain unto royalty. Then went forth thy fame among the nations for thy beauty, for perfect it was in my splendor which I had put upon thee, declareth my Lord Yahweh. Mel?
And this is the beginning of the end, the peak. Verse 15, so 15 through 25.
Okay. Then didst thou trust in thy beauty and become unchaste because of thy fame, and didst pour out thine unchastity upon every passerby. His it was. Yea, thou didst take of thy raiment and mattest the high places of hangings, and didst commit unchastity thereon, which ought not to have befallen, not to have come to pass, but thou didst take thine according jewels of my gold and my silver which I had given thee, and didst make the images of the male, and didst that act unchastely with them. And thou didst take thine embroidered raiment, cover them, and mine oil and mine incense didst thou set before them, and my food which I had given thee, fine flour and oil and honey wherewith I fed thee, and didst thou set it before them for a satisfying odor. Yea, it was, saith my Lord Yahweh. And thou didst take thy sons and thy daughters whom thou hadst born unto me, and didst sacrifice them unto them to be devoured. Is this of thine unchastity a light thing? Yea, thou didst slay my children and didn't deliver them up, and they should be caused to pass through the fire unto them, and in all thine abominations and thine unchaste ways. Thou rememberest not the days of thy youth, when thou wast utterly naked, when thou wast thrusting about thee in thy blood.
And it came to pass that after thy wickedness, woe to thee, exclaimed Adonai Yahweh. For thou didst build thee a brothel, and didst make thee a height at every broadway. At the head of every road didst thou build thy height and bring thy beauty into disgust and open thy feet to every passerby. So didst thou make thy chaste ways so to abound.
So that's the beginning. So, but this is talking about a painting of Yahweh's heart. He was a baby with umbilical cord after birth thrown on the ground. And people were walking by them, waiting for them to die. And Yahweh, what's interesting, you're going to miss this with other translations. He says, despite thy blood live, yea, despite thy blood live. Yahweh is a poet. This is poetry. And he says things certain ways to put emphasis on the situation. And Yahweh and blood is unclean. It's unclean. Here's this thing. And he'll put two words together, I. Other translations gets rid of it. And Rotherham's going to explain, he puts two words together. When you put two words together, it's like having flint and iron together. Because the two together, it's going to explode into, it's supposed to be create friction. That's a tangent. But then here's an infant who is clothed, cleaned, brought up. He gets developed, fully developed, and he clothes her, puts clothing on her. Once she becomes beautiful, though, what happens? She becomes a prostitute, adulteress. And that's our nature for any one of us. And hopefully that's not us. But once people get cocky, once they become successful, and this is going to be talking about Israel and Judah, but this could be a story of the United States for the wicked ones. Because what's the end thing they do? The child sacrifices. I just had a client call me up and he said it's always the last thing they do before Yahweh judges somebody. He brings up these child sacrifices. What did you do to my children? What did you do to my grandchildren? Can you imagine Yahweh going, I did this to you? And then the children that you offer him as sacrifices. That makes me think of the pilgrims on Plymouth Rock. There's no way they're going to survive except for Yahweh. And then here's the United States. But the teaching isn't about that. But I wanted to bring an emphasis about Yahweh's heart and about children considering somebody taking care of you when you're an infant, after birth, helpless. You can't do anything. For how many years? 6 years? 7 years? When does a child become productive? I don't know. I mean, 5, 6 years, you don't do anything. And here they are, they take care of them, and this is how you teach that person. When we get to read that, we're like, ugh! And that's why Yahweh says, honor your mother and your father. I know a man that just to be with his son, he had to go to court. And he had to drive 6 hours to go see him on the weekends. And he got like 6 hours every other weekend just to see him. And then he had to have supervised visitations just to see him. They got to 6 hours. And then he went to court over and over and over. It was a game for the mother. The child didn't have a choice. For 15 years, he fought to be with that kid. And he fought over and over and drove the basketball games, the soccer games, parent-teacher conference, 6 hours there, 3 hours there, 3 hours back after work, just to be there in life. And that child, when he was 15 years old, decided to rebel and screw you. Can't tell me what to do. If anybody would have saw that story of what was given to that kid, and how would you feel about somebody doing that? You'd be like, that's disgusting. And this is, the point isn't to point out wickedness, what people do. The point is to look at who we should be pursuing. Because do you have any recollection of being covered in afterbirth?
No.
Diapers being changed, sleepless nights, colic? Any one of us?
Well, I remember that, but not for myself.
No, for yourself. And Yahweh was there for all of us. And he was there and with all of us, and he helped. And my life was saved how many times? Even as an infant. And he was there, and he was there, and he's still here today. And we look at these things, it's about what he deserves. And if we're going to lose lateral relationships, so be it. Because even in this illustration here, when did the daughter become perverted? It was the lateral relationships, other people going out after them. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Pursuing him who did that for all of us, who's seen everything that was ever done. I think one of the best things that can happen for a lot of people is to become a parent. When you become a parent, you realize how selfish children are. Ho! Holy cow, dude, are you serious? About 15 minutes, you're still hungry? It comes more natural to women, but it's still the whole world about me. Bleh, threw up on my pillow. And you, the whole world you're giving, but you get that. It makes you appreciate, because even when I became a father, I'm like looking at this four-year-old who got me wrapped around his finger. He peed in my bed. And I'm looking at this going, and I'm like, I'm working my butt off for this kid. And then I was thinking, he's not even going to remember any of this. It's not like he's like, oh yeah, I'll never forget that time I threw up in your hair, or I dropped your keys in the toilet. Yeah, sorry about that. No, he doesn't even know. And what Yahweh was doing with me, he goes, do you remember? No, I don't. He goes, you need to thank your parents. And what did it do when your infant child rebels against you? How did that make you feel? I would have done anything for you, and then you spit in my face. Ouch. And Yahweh goes, how's that feel? That hurts. That's when we reject Yahweh, or we're ashamed of the gospel. I'm ashamed of your name. I bet I have. I've been intimidated. I want to blend in. Help me not be ashamed of you. And Father will work with us. Genesis chapter 1, looking at his heart. So I started off talking about a man pursuing a woman. The purpose of our life is not to pursue a man or a woman or kids or jobs. And we'll see at the very end, Yahweh says, if you put me as your coordinates, I'll give you all this. But I want to be number one, not number two. Number one, I'm a jealous God. I don't want to share you with anybody. I'm slow to anger, but that what you reap, you will sow. Here's my scriptures, and here's how you know who I am. And it was a neat thing. I was going to go into Jeremiah chapter 3 because it talked about adultery. And Yahweh divorcing Israel and divorcing Judah. Wait, I thought the only way you could divorce somebody is because of adultery, this and that. You've got to go. People are taking one scripture with Jesus Christ saying, "Let's." If people are doing wicked things, you're going to get divorced. Yahweh divorced Israel and Judah. But he says, confess your fault.
Yeah.
Admit your fault. How many times do we not want to do that? How can he forgive us? He was there. It's like me ripping off my mom, taking money out of her purse, and she's watching me on a TV, and I'm not going to admit to it. She showed me the film. I'm still not going to admit to it. That's a lot of men. Mankind. Men and women. I'm not going to admit to it. And he looks at that, and he's going to go, and that's where we're going to go, help me with my heart that I never get like that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. Would somebody read that?
Say 26 to 28.
Yes.
And Elohim said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the bird of the heavens, and over the tame beast, and over all the land, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the land. And Elohim created the man in his own image, in the image of Elohim created he him, male and female created he them. And Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over over the fish of the sea, over the bird of the heavens, and over every living thing that moveth on the land.
So as Neil with Melania, you can look at this. This is the creation of man and women, twins. And in Genesis chapter 2 is going to be their marriage. It's going to talk about Adam's rib. That's them getting married. It's the two accounts of creation. But Yahweh creates twins, and he goes, these are the most wealthy couple in the history of mankind. It's all yours. Look what I gave you. Have some fun. Give me some grandkids. That's what he wanted. And you're like looking at his heart. And he did that with Adam and Eve too. Washed them. Here you are. You have this stuff. Here's your job. Here's your rules. Eve got completely deceived. And Adam divorced Yahweh to keep Eve. And look at that. You know, when Eve sinned and Adam knew she sinned, Eve just divorced Adam. You guys realize that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're married and your spouse commits adultery or something, you just broke the covenant. There's no covenant now. I mean, things can be reconciled, but wait a minute, this changes everything. And with Eve doing that, Adam knows what it's like to be abandoned. So what did he do?
Abandoned
Yahweh to keep that. And I probably would have done the same thing. But here's Yahweh looking, being abandoned. Yahweh, has anybody been abandoned before? Mm-hmm. Nobody's been abandoned like Yahweh or Jesus Christ. But we look at his heart. What did he give him? He gave him the world. And we look at Adam and Eve, and we look at Israel and Judah and then Ezekiel. But what has he given you, Melania? Everybody's been given gifts. Everybody. Everybody's got vices and weaknesses. That's not Yahweh's desire, that we have vices and weaknesses. That's the genetics of Adam and Eve and some other things. Everybody's got to kill their own demons, their flesh. Everybody's got those things, but everybody also has opportunities. What are you doing with your gifts? He's given you the world. He's given me the world. Chuck, Wendy, everybody else, what has he given you? And we got to make sure we don't do the same thing, and then we take it, we cultivate it, and groom these things to give it right back to him. He gives them life. He gives them they get married. They started off pretty good. Here's a big wedding. Can you imagine the angels watching Adam and Eve getting married? What did the wedding look like? We know that the Hebrew word for the loincloth is kateneth, and it was a priestly garb. It was not caveman clothes. And since we know how Yahweh, he's a designer, and if you've seen Gucci or if you've seen Armani, we're just in a Frank Lloyd Wright house, and guess what? My friend who's recognized it immediately. Because she knows his design, right? And guess what? It was a Frank Lloyd Wright. It was a model of it. Yahweh has a model of how he designs clothes. And what did Adam's clothes look like? It cut the neth. And he had this turban and all the rest of this. Think about their wedding like that. What did Eve look like? How did the women dress? This is not cavemen. I guess there might not have been clothing then because they hadn't sinned yet. But whatever. But there's a wedding. Here's all the angels watching all this. They inherited all this. And they stabbed Yahweh right in the heart. Turn to Exodus chapter 33. Yeah, I've said this before to my dad, and I'm not gifted. I do not have a gift when it comes to a singing voice or with an instrument. I can do it enough to lead. I guess I'm gifted with leadership. But I'll have a desire to write him a song. And I'll sing it. And then I'll work on it. I'm like, yes, I put a lot. And I record it. I'm like, you kidding me? That's what I sound like after all that. What's the point of this? It's never going to get good enough for people. Then he reproved me. He says, is the purpose of you making music for people, is it for me? It matters to me. Give me a song. Write me a song. Write me a story. Do a teaching for me. And is he blessed? You could be in your backyard with the same presentation, just like this, you spend 6 hours of presentation, you give it to the air, would Yahweh be blessed? Look at my son! Yes! He's out there rehearsing like an attorney, getting ready to do his cross-examination, and this, and then this, and then this. But a righteous attorney knowing that Yahweh's watching him. How'd I do, Dad? Okay, I'll take more time. I'll be slow to speak, and he'll work with us. The purpose of us learning and teaching and singing and working is to look up and say, what do you think, Dad? Lord? And he looks down, he goes, now you're getting it right. Because if you can get this thing right, all the rest of the things can be reconciled. He is that good. You can't lose anything that he can't replace with something better. I love thinking about that with David, with Michael. He lost Michael. How bad did he want to marry Michael?
A few foreskins.
He killed 200 Philistines and then cut off their foreskins. You want to do that, Mel?
No, a lot of
you want to go cut off two and then count them and put them in a bag?
No.
I wouldn't want to do that either. How many people would want to? Izzy's like, oh, he would have just chopped them off and been like a bunch of hot dogs. I'm like, ah! My brother, the hunter. But somebody did that!
Yeah.
Is that somebody who wants that woman?
Yep.
What happened to Michael?
Yes,
when the father was going to murder him, he crawled out the window and I read that and I've been abandoned. I go, why didn't Michael go with him? Well, she couldn't then. Okay, the next day. The next day. A month later, she can't sneak out. She can't petition the same creator that her father's attacking. He lost his wife. But what did Yahweh give him? Abigail. Abigail who prophesied and said, when he goes to kill Nabal, she falls down his feet and prophesies and says, surely the throne will be established through you, David. And I can imagine David receiving a prophecy like that from a stranger, a woman like that. She was beautiful anyways. I bet you he wept. I bet you he fell down on his hands and knees because that was Yahweh. And Yahweh can do the same thing for us. You're going to lose something. That's where we got to go. My dad was really good at this. I just got to help somebody who's going to law school. A door got closed. I said, you have to say he's got something better. And that's when we open up faith. He's got something better. Exodus chapter 13. Somebody going to start reading.
Oh,
I'm sorry. It's 33:18.
Read, Wendy.
And so this is Moses. Here's Moses. What could Yahweh give Moses? Remember when Yahweh talked to Solomon? And Solomon said, give me wisdom so that I can rule your people to make you well, basically, to bless you. How can I? Solomon could have been smart enough to be a regular king, but he wanted to bless Yahweh. Give me wisdom so that I can honor you. And Yahweh goes, because you've asked for this, I'll give you all the rest of these things. It doesn't say that literally, but I believe that was the heart. And here's Moses. What could Moses have asked for? Golly. Anything he wanted. But what's Moses going to ask when Yahweh asks him, what do you want? If you start reading.
And he said, show me, I pray thee, thy glory. And he said, I will cause all my goodness to pass before thee, and will proclaim myself by the name Yahweh before thee, and will show favor unto whom I may show favor.
Pause it right there. Hold your spot. He didn't say, make your people follow me. Chastise them. This wicked, are you kidding me? These evil, I'm looking at the Democrat Party of the United States. Smite them? Are you kidding me? What they're doing with babies, and they're putting men in women's bathrooms, and girls are getting raped and molested? That's what I'm thinking. But here's Moses. What did he do?
Show me your glory.
When he went to Yahweh, he wasn't even complaining about them. I want to know you, man. Oh, man. What do I want? I want to know you. And so then go ahead and keep reading.
And will show favor unto whom I may show favor.
And that word's raham. Say raham.
And will show raham unto whom I may show.
Raham is a really special word. I'm not going to do a really good job of explaining it now. But it's a word that communicates the love between a mother and the child in her womb. It's a very special word. Raham. What is the connection between a mother, a righteous mother and a child, not a Democrat, they just aborted itself, the baby parts of Planned Parenthood, but somebody who, a righteous woman, how do you feel towards a child in your womb? That connection. So Yahweh said he will give us, show us Raham. So go ahead, verse 20.
And will have compassion on whom I may have compassion. Keep going.
But he said, thou canst not see my face, for no son of earth can see me and live. And Yahweh said, lo, a place near me, so then thou shalt station thyself upon the rock. Isn't that neat? Here's Yahweh problem solving. Moses, what do you want? What do you want, Moses? Can you imagine? Yahweh with Abraham, when he's getting ready with a knife to kill his son to be obedient, Yahweh says, now I know. Now I know. John Lynn did a teaching on that. Now means as a point in time, at this point, Yahweh knows Abraham was going to go through with it. Up until that point, there was a question mark. And here, even with Moses, what does Moses want? Who knows what things were stirring around? But when Moses makes it known, now Yahweh knows his heart. Yahweh's like, God, there's one. Out of all this planet, there's people in Hawaii, Tahiti, South America, Africa, and here's one that wants to know me. And Yahweh goes, I tell you what, can't do what you said. Let me think about this. And he's looking around going, hey, there's a rock over here. Come over here. This is the song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Here's Yahweh doing deductive reasoning. Be seeking, be asking. What's that? So this, go ahead. And let me see. Yahweh said, lo, verse 21, a place near me. So then thou shalt station thyself upon the rock, and it shall be while my glory passes by, I'll put thee in a cleft, in a crack of the rock, and will cover thee with what?
My hand.
Isn't that neat? I think about it, covering a small animal that's cold, protecting with your hand. He's going to cover it with his hand while I pass by to protect you. Then will I take my hand, and thou shalt see behind me. But my face must thou not see. And Yahweh said unto Moses, hew these two tablets. And he tells him, so we're going to read, and we're going to skip down. Verse 5, 34 verse 5. You want to read about this whole thing, because this is his whole encounter of Moses not worrying about Aaron, Miriam, Jethro. He has sons too. Where's Moses' kids? The only thing we know about Moses' descendants is in the book of Judges that one's an evil priest. And other translations change it. Your other translations, they won't say Moses. Rotherham will. And when they read that this evil priest, I forgot who they stole, the household gods and did the rest of this stuff, when they read it was Moses' descendant, they changed the name because that could be blasphemous. Rotherham's going to show you what it was. No, it was one of Moses' descendants. Oh no, my line. Yahweh's like, don't worry about that line. There's bigger lines than these genetics. Trust me. Verse 5, and Yahweh descended in the cloud and took his station with him. There proclaimed himself by the name Yahweh. Moses didn't know Yahweh's name until the burning bush. So Yahweh passed before him, and what did he say? I am the Lord, the Lord. I am God. No. You know, John Lent did that teaching. He said, who named Jesus Christ? It's actually Yehoshua Mashiach or Mashiach Yehoshua. Yahweh did. And Yahweh didn't have a mother or father to name him, so what did he pick for himself? Is that more significant? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a name. A righteous Elohim, a creator picking a word, a proper noun for himself. And what does he tell Moses? Yahweh, an El of Raham, remember that, the womb, and favor, slow to anger, and abundant in Hesed. Hesed, or loving kindness, is an obligatory covenant. Yahweh will say that if you do these things, I will be obligated to do these other things. King David says, great is your Hesed, which means that if I did this, you have to do this. And Yahweh is an Elohim that goes, if you do these things, I have to do those things. That's what kind of Elohim is. Does he have to do those things? No, but this is what he sets up for us. And faithfulness, keeping Hesed to 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, though he leave not utterly unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers. And after this, Moses comes down from the cleft and he's glowing. What do you think the angels are thinking? The messengers that are standing around watching this going, did you just see what happened? There's something very neat what Yahweh's done with his relationship with the sons of Adam, sons of man, and what he will do to show his strength. Every once in a while, a child will ask the right time and the right thing with a good heart to a parent, and a parent will exalt a child because they asked. I remember Rachel asked once, my baby sister, she asked for something, mom and dad did it. My brother Israel asked for a mini bike. And he got it. And my oldest brother said, I would have never asked for anything like that. But my brother Guy was giving Israel a compliment because he would aim for the stars. He'd ask, and he would get these things, and Guy would watch. But here's Yahweh showing who he is. Moses comes down, he's glowing. Moses had something right. And that should be us. The longitude and the latitude. Where are you? Where's the cleft of the rock today? Maybe it's stay away from the internet for a week. Maybe it's no drawing, or maybe it's no exercising, or whatever the thing is. Whatever it is he tells you to do, go do it. And then he'll show you, and he'll reveal himself. The purpose of your existence is that one relationship. There's only one way to him. It's through his son. Can't go anywhere unless you're through his son. That's our mediator. Turn to Psalm 84. Moses. What happened with King Saul when he saw the people, when Samuel was delayed? He panicked. He saw the people. Aaron, when he made the golden calf, he told Moses, you know the people, right? What was he looking at? Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Anybody remember their names?
Mm-hmm.
What were their names?
Oh, their real names.
Hananiah.
And
Mishael has not messed it up. But what do they do? They're more focused on their, if we're going to die, we're going to die for him, being obedient. And he will deliver us. And if he doesn't, after we're dead, when we're resurrected, that's a good way to die. That's a good death. And that's what Aaron could have done. He missed it. Not that's easy for me to pick on Aaron. But somebody would read verse 8, Psalm 84 for me. It's a short psalm.
Go ahead, Melania, you start.
How lovely are thy habitations, O Yahweh of hosts. My soul longeth you. Yea, even languisheth for thy courts of Yahweh, for the courts of Yahweh. My heart and my flesh shout aloud for a living Elohim. Even the sparrow hath found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she hath laid her young. Thine altars, O Yahweh of hosts, my King and my Elohim. How happy are they who abide in thy house. Still are they praising thee. Selah. How happy the men whose strength is in thee. Festive processions are in their heart. Passing through the balsam veil, a place of fountains they make it. Yea, with blessings is it covered by the early rain. They go from strength to strength. Each one appeareth before Elohim in Zion. O Yahweh, Elohim of hosts, hear thou my prayer. Give hear, thou Elohim of Jacob. Selah. Our shield behold thou, O Elohim, and look upon the face of thine anointed one. For better is a day in thy courts than a thousand. I choose rather to stand at the threshold in the home of my Elohim than to dwell in the tents of lawlessness. For a sun and shield is Yahweh Elohim. Grace and glory will Yahweh give. He will not withhold what is good from
them. At the beginning, I think I said it was David. I didn't mean to say it was David.
What?
I referenced Psalms 84. I might have said David, and that was an error. This is not David. But look how this thing starts. My soul longeth, yet even languished for what?
Courts
of Yahweh. To be with you. That psalmist, whoever that was in a good spot. That's a spot that each one of us can choose. Turn to Psalms 90. I wasn't going to do this. But I'm alone, I'm single. I don't want to be single. I didn't want to be single. Here I am all by myself, sleeping in my bed. I got a gigantic house. It's huge. I got the biggest house ever. And I got no kids and I got no wife. And I was rambling in thoughts. And I was like, anyways. And all of a sudden I had a little recollection. Aaron? Yes? Did you say you're alone in a really big house? I went, yeah. I could get you a smaller house. I went, no, it's good. You're complaining about being alone in a big house? But you're thinking about you're alone, you're looking at what's missing in your life. Don't take the bait. It will consume you. The bloodline is bait. I just recently had somebody reach out to me and confide in me with what's going on in their family. One of their family members died. After a family member died, you know what happened? A huge quarrel broke out and a child was stolen. Now the child that was stolen is living in a wicked house and that other family members have done evil, evil things. Sound familiar? I heard this and I went, are you kidding me? I started laughing and I went, I gotta tell you something else. Let me tell you what just happened to my family. And you know what he did when he or she heard it? He laughed. Ha! We're not gonna be no sucker. That's right. It's the same, a thief that done this or whatever, but it's the same old, same old, same. Oh, my child has abandoned me. What do I gotta do to have my baby back? No. Yahweh, bless us. And in Psalm 90, I would like to think about it. I'd like to write a song about what I would do for a girl. I would swim across the ocean. There's all these beautiful... If you want to write songs and make money, you talk about what you'd do for a woman. Actually, I don't hear a whole lot of song about women doing that for men. Like sitting there walking... More like a baseball bat in Louisville slugger. But in this, I thought about what Yahweh did with me. Having a desire to have a spouse, but I was wrong. You can have a desire. Psalms 90, verse 3. This is Moses. Actually, I'll go to verse 1. Adonai. Oh, I meant 63, sorry. That's my other favorite psalm.
Psalm 62?
63. So that was Moses. That's my other favorite psalm. Psalm 63. This is David. I think about David on the run, away from his wife, his family possibly, being attacked. You got lions. You got, you know, I'm reading about the life in Africa. No water. Are you kidding me? You know, and here you are, and here's King David. If you're hiding from a king, I don't know if this, it says that he's in the wilderness of Judah. So this could have been before he went defected to the Philistines. But if you are running away from a king, you're not going to be in easy spots where wells and stuff are. So I don't know where he is. But here's his heart. O Elohim, my El, thou art. Earnestly do I desire her. Nope. Thee. My soul thirsts for water. No. Thee. My flesh fainted for a big congregation. No, but thee. That's how he starts this off. In, where is he? In a land dry and weary and want for water. What does David feel like when he's writing this? He's dying of thirst. There's no water, man. But what does he do? I thirst for thee. My flesh fainteth for thee in like in a land weary and want for water. Like manner as in a sanctuary, I had vision of thee to behold thy power and thy glory. Moses in the cleft of the rock. Ezekiel got to see a rainbow above your head. Isaiah got to see people going running around like the mailroom of Yahweh's room. And John in the book of Revelation got to see the 4 and 12 elders and Zoe and Ezekiel. There's all these animals and things that exist. We don't even know. We have descriptions. Where are they? I don't know. But Yahweh just gives a little glimpse of these extraterrestrials or whatever they are. And here's David going, I want to see you, your glory and your throne. In verse 3, because better is thy hased. That's an obligatory covenant than life. My lips aloud shall praise thee. Does he feel like praising him? No. Thus will I bless thee while I live. In thy name I lift up my outspread hands. As in fatness and richness shall my soul be satisfied. And with joyful shouting lips shall my mouth utter praise. That is the longitude and latitude for each one of us. Your buried treasure, my buried treasure. To get that right. Because you're not going to feel like it. David didn't feel like it. He's on the run. But he made himself. If you act enthusiastic, you'll become enthusiastic. If you act, you do the same thing, and then you go back, and faith comes by hearing the spoken words of Christ. Romans 10:17. 2 Corinthians 4:13. I believe, therefore I... You want to know what you believe? What's coming out of your mouth? That's the rudder for your boat. If you're speaking in the wrong direction, turn it around and repent. And then drive your ship to Yahweh. So which waters are we going down today? If I was in a desert island, I used to think about, man, that'd be so depressing. Or you could say it's me and Yahweh on a desert island. What are we going to do, Yahweh? How about we build a house? All by myself. No, it's not. And so then Philippians 3, 1 through 10, my dad wrote a song on this. I don't know if we have time to read it. But it's the Apostle Paul talking about all the things he did. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the Jew circumcised at the right time. He had everything that a religious Jew would want. And he goes, it's all rubbish. It's garbage. And he concludes saying, I want to know Christ and the fellowship of his suffering. Yahweh gives us longitude and latitude in some of these things of people who are getting it right. These are people who are not going to regret a whole lot when they meet Yahweh. Because they ran the race in a way in which to win. Like the Apostle Paul, like Jesus Christ did in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And that's where we can do it too. And then people look at you and go, Melania, if you keep saying Yahweh, Yahweh, and saying Yehoshua, or speaking in tongues, people are going to be around you. You know what's beautiful about that? Because if you get your longitude and your latitude right, guess what's going to happen? This is what's so beautiful about our Creator. When I'm reading about this guy Moffat, in South Africa, he was there before Livingstone. And they start teaching the word and righteousness, and here's how you do certain things. And at one point, one of the chiefs starts doing it, being a righteous chief. And actually then they chased down some marauders, and they killed these marauders, and then they took their own cattle back, and the cattle that weren't theirs, they gave them back to the bushmen. This is not like African, because where they're going, it's just, it's divide and conquer, kill, steal, steal, because you're always starving to death. There's people that do that today. It's all poverty and welfare mentality. But after this chief captured other people's property, he gave it back to the Bushmen and these other people. And you know what those Bushmen did? They said, reign over us. Let us become a part of your chief. And you know what happened with this chief? He started doing things righteously, not war. Save your stuff. We don't have to go kill people. Here's what we're going to do. We can live in peace. We can do these things. And as he exercised Yahweh's laws, guess what happened? He lost a lot of people. Guess who he lost? The marauders. The evil people got out. When we do Yahweh's laws, the wrong people will get out. But Yahweh says that in Matthew 6, if you seek his rule first, his rule is his authority. And if President Trump can tell somebody to jump off a ledge and they do it, he's got rule in their life. His rule in our life is when we obey it. But if you do his rule first, get this right, the longitude, the latitude, he'll give you the desires of your heart. You want relationships? You want good friends? You want a spouse? You want grandkids? You want those things? He goes, good! Because those things motivate you. And he goes, get this thing right, I'll give you these things. He told David that too. I would have given you more women. I would have given you more money. All these things, but you got to keep this right, David. That is our job, is not necessarily to convince people, to get people to follow us. They do great. But it's to get Yahweh's attention. And to be sitting there going, look at these guys. Look at them. And to have angels possibly be like Gideon, where an angel goes, Gideon, you are famous. I don't know how he was famous yet, but the messenger looked at him like an admiration. And they could do the same thing with us. This guy is that iron. He is flint. But then when Yahweh comes around, he melts down the putty. What kind of man is that? That's a work of art. But we can do that. Buried treasure, longitude and latitude. So what? That's that longitude and latitude. What is that longitude and the latitude? Because you have to read. The top corner. It says Antioch, Illinois. Antioch, Illinois, to the best of my knowledge, is where a treasure was. Here's the longitude and latitude. What does he got to do? He's got to get this person here. He's got to get this other person here. And how did he get them there? There's been times I was in the right place at the right time because I drove to work and I had the wrong shoes on. I had a brown and a black. Ah! I had to go back, switch my shoes out. Because of that, I met the right person. The longitude and latitude is where my mother and my father met. I wouldn't exist without that treasure. So Yahweh, through his scriptures, when we seek him out, seeking him out, he'll give you other longitude and latitude to your treasures. And he'll reward you. But don't be like the child once she became beautiful. Once she forgot about it. So anyway, we'll wrap up there. Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you that you can speak to us. And what a privilege it is to even speak about you. Thank you for helping me be what you've called me to be. And to be well worth all that you've sacrificed for me. Thank you, Father, for these words. Do not be distracted by anything. But be focused on my faithfulness. In this world, you will be surrounded by so many unfaithful people. And if you're weak, you'll be distracted and you will miss the mark. You can endure great hardship and great loneliness if you focus on me. I've given you what it takes to endure everything. For my son, 40 days, they had no food. Moses, 40 days, no food, no water, but he had me. And if you do the same thing with me, you'll be able to endure anything, and I will reward you above and beyond anything, for a righteous king loves to shower his faithful servants with great abundance and riches, specifically the desires of their heart, to show everybody else the heart of the king.